Right, okay. So, welcome to Commetrics University Coffee Break webinar. It's July the 7th, 2010, and we're 8:32. Let me just go to the slide about the topics, what we're going to address today. As usual, Deborah is our host. She will be monitoring the chat box, and if you have any questions, please put them in the chat box. I might try to answer them, or we might answer them at the end. But please keep focused. I also hope that you will show up again on July 14th, that's next week, when we will have another one about managing the flow of data and not to be overburdened, which is quite important for metrics. I'm the presenter, Erzi Gattaker, and if you, as I said, if you have any questions, just put them in the chat box and I'll try to answer. We should be done by about 5 to 9 for sure this morning. So here comes the first slide, number 3. It tells you a little bit about what we're going to talk about, the overview about social media addiction, steps to Facebook and Twitter detox. And we'll talk about what is social media addiction and how can this risk be managed. Just let me show you one web page. So I'm shifting now to the web page at university.commetrics.com. I want to show you something quite quickly. The podcast on our web page always come up, and if you browse down, usually here, if you click here, you get the whole story. But if you browse down, like the one we had last week, you see this one, audio MP3 at the bottom lower left. You can either listen to it online, which is the podcast. Podcast from last week was 12 minutes. Or you can actually download it. There is also, if you go to the page where we have all the slides and the downloads, there's also a link which tells you how to get it via your iPod. So we have it up on iTunes. You can subscribe to it on iTunes and you get these podcasts automatically via your RSS feed. So you can listen to it on your iPod or in your car or wherever. Or you download the MP3 file from here. Or the third option is you go to the page where we have all the slides and the archives. You log yourself in. You have a login, it's free, and you just download whatever you need. So having explained that, let me just go back to the presentation quick. Okay, so today we're going to talk about this addiction. One of the problems, there's internet addiction, there's alcohol addiction, there is drug addiction, and of course there might also be social media addiction, but I'm not totally sure yet. And how can you and the real issue here for us today is actually how you can manage this risk in a corporate setting, in an organization. How can I make sure that my people are not getting so addicted to the social media stuff that they forget doing their jobs? Because that would be unfortunate. Which brings us to slide number 4. Addiction, what is it? First, maybe we should look at the graphic on the upper right. Which tells us that, you know, people are spending quite a lot of time every week and every day on social networks. As a matter of fact, the numbers you see in this chart are probably underestimating how much time people spend. People have a tendency to underestimate the time it takes, for instance, the time they take every day to watch TV, to commute to and from work. In some studies about commuting, researchers have found out that people seem to forget how much time it takes them to walk to and from the car or to and from the office desk. So they tend to underestimate their commutes often by 10 minutes to 30 minutes every day. Now that adds up quite a bit. There's a similar thing about watching TV. There's some data there. And I guess on social networks we'll find out some similar things. If we look at addiction generally in medical terms is a disease. So it's, you kind of need to suffer in one way or the other. And it's probably more than just having a hangover or a headache from having drunk too much last night. And it's also accompanied by a significant degree of physical, social, or vocational impairment. So you have an incapacity. So for instance, if it could be that you couldn't go to work, or you couldn't use any elevator because you're afraid to be in a closed room. The critical thing is actually on the lower definition, where it says the medical people are saying you need to have some kind of intrinsic suffering. So if you are an alcoholic, you have some intrinsic suffering in that some of your bodily functions will be damaged or will suffer due to drinking too much alcohol. But even if we can define social media addiction, it's quite a different story to measure it. When you download the slides, you'll get the link on Friday morning from our system with the email I usually send out. There you will also get the information that the podcast is up and where you can download it to make your life a little bit easier. On slide 13, which I won't show today, you get some information on how to download articles. There are some articles for medical people, which are more detailed, but there are also some articles from the New York Times explaining this issue for us non-medical people. So this brings me to slide number 5. Ignore the upper right screenshot right now. What we're focusing on is, here is a study from 2009, data from 2009 from the Kaiser Family Foundation in the US, and it compares and studies behaviors by 8 to 10 year olds and 11 to 14 year old teenagers. And as you can see, teenagers spend about 5 hours TV every day. They listen about 2 hours and 22 minutes or something on to music on their iPod or wherever. They probably spend about nearly 2 hours on their computers, and they probably spend 1.5 hours on computer video games. But you also see that there's a clear difference between 8 to 10 year olds. Those are average hours, Matthias, yes, those are average hours each day. Okay, so you can add it yourself. It adds up to about 12 hours. Now, some other studies say it goes down to about 9 hours a day on those media things, because some of the stuff youngsters do multitasking. So they're on the phone, but they're also typing email, or they're chatting, or they're playing a computer game, or they're on voice over IP. An internet kind of phone, and they also do a computer game with a friend. So as the next slide shows, what affects this is if you have media rules. So if you have media rules for your children, the media consumption in the US goes down by nearly 3 hours, just about 3 hours, okay? So from nearly 13 hours to about 10 hours. So it seems that with children, rules is an important thing. You better have rules with your children if you have some children. Now, this does not assess is it good or bad, and this is not our job to do today. Consumption is one thing, but it could interfere with your day. So what is then social media or digital device addiction? I think what we need to understand are two things I explain, and they're so-called neurotransmitters. One is dopamine, and if it's taken away, it reduces your motivation to go and search for food or for news or for other things. And the other one is opiate, and that gives you the pleasurable sensation. So dopamine gets you to look for new news, new blog posts, and other interesting stuff and messages. And once you find them, then opiate plays a role and gives you this pleasurable sensation. So if we go into social media and device addiction, dopamine motivates one to look for new information. And once you have the new information, opiate gives you the pleasurable sensation. So what they found out is when people do multitasking, so they use Twitter, they have a Twitter window open, they have a Facebook window open, they're on the phone with a friend and they watch TV, it's this dopamine which gets them to look for these things, and it becomes like an addiction in that they need it all the time. And whenever they don't check their email, or whenever they hear their email, you know, the little noise from Outlook, you have new email, then they have this urge to go and check and make sure that they don't miss anything. And that can become quite distractive. On slide 8, the issue then for work is that we minimize the potential risk of having this kind of addiction interfere with our workday. So we need to distinguish between entertainment and posting a link to Twitter regarding a company-wide paper. So I may go into my Twitter account, my private Twitter account, and send out a tweet that links to some kind of a research paper or PDF file on the corporate website. And that is actually public relations. It's leveraging the use of people. To give you an example, most of you know about the World Economic Forum in Davos, and some people use it to push their own research at that particular meeting. For instance, Edelman, which is the largest public relations firm in the world, has a so-called corporate trust barometer, or the trust barometer as it calls, where it releases information it has gathered from around the world about how people trust business, politicians, and their friends. And they always release it during the WEF in January when it's being held. But the real thing is that there are about 2,000, if not more, Edelman employees that then also tweet about this, post it on their Facebook wall, posted in their LinkedIn or Xing groups about this particular study. So you reach many more people that way. And in this sense, you can say, if the employee takes 3 or 5 minutes to do this during a particular workday, it's to the advantage of the corporation. So this is not necessarily, it may be beneficial for one's friends to get this information, but it's not entertainment. It's really work related. So we should let people to do this properly. The key here is, if you take a short time reading important material, you should actually focus on the task instead. So the research says if you do multitasking, it slows you down. So when people say, I want to listen to music, I want to check my email whenever it comes up, and I'm writing an important research report for my employer. If you do all these three things and you get interrupted by checking your Twitter feed or other things, the research says you're less productive. Now, we can argue with this, and teenagers in particular argue with this, but all the research shows you're taking more time. So, and we also know from the research, this is kind of a side issue, but I thought it's very interesting. When you do an executive seminar, I did one last week, and what I did is I said to all the participants, look, there will be a little test at the end, okay? And there are certain questions you will have to answer, and I'll help you to prepare for this test, but your employer wants to know how much you learned from this seminar, because if it's useless, we might not do another one. So of course I said it a little bit more politer and smiling all the way to the bank. And what I found was that the learning has improved. And this is of course nothing new. When pupils or students know that there will be a test, it gets them more focused. And if they read something 3 times or 1 time, that does not necessarily improve performance, but just getting focused and knuckle down to the task and do it improves your performance. So I think this is quite important. So if you focus on one thing and get that done as an employee, your performance will be better than if you get interrupted by checking email, by doing instant messaging and all kinds of things. Do one thing at a time, but do it well. So this brings me to the conclusion, for the organization, this means you need to have clear rules of engagement. And one of our participants, Peggy, has asked that we talk about social media policy, and we will after the summer break discuss about how to develop a social media policy and what works and what fails. And this, one of the things we have is that you have to have rules of engagement. So if you use the telephone at work, there's usually a rule which says you're not supposed to use it for private purposes. But of course, if you call your children, if they got home from school and you check if everything is okay, nobody really complains about that. But if you do long distance calls and you sit on the phone for half an hour, that's a problem. It's also another problem if you talk about Holland's win yesterday, if a customer calls and he wants to talk to you about this. It's probably not as good if you talk about that you didn't bet on the right team yesterday with one of your pals who are on your online community that bets on the World Cup South Africa tournament. And with use of Facebook, there's two or three things. The city of Zurich has a rule which says no Facebook. The rule didn't work, so what they did is they blocked Facebook. You can't get Facebook from work. The banks have done the same thing. There's at least one large British bank I've worked with which has the same rule. But there's a problem. If people have an iPhone and they go out to have a smoke, or they go to have a coffee break, they can do whatever they like. They will still use Facebook. They will still do these things. We, for instance, have an unwritten rule that if we go to the lounge and we have coffee or we have a break or we share lunch, nobody picks up the phone. Okay, our phones are turned off and we really socialize. The idea is really to socialize, to talk to each other things. Well, you know, Matthias, I know it's very difficult, but there has to be some kind of way to figure out how it is. For instance, there's one company which produces trains, a large train manufacturer and energy. And they have a rule which goes like this. If you click on go to Facebook, it says you're actually not allowed to use this Facebook page. But if you think you do need it for work purposes, please go ahead and use it. But please be aware that we monitor your Facebook use. Okay, it's being recorded. So you're kind of forewarned. And this answers Matthias's concern that you actually go back and look, I'm posting a link on my Facebook wall to a white paper or to something the company did or something related to my work. There's no problem there. And this is what I mean. A blank rule which says you are not allowed to use it is never as good as appealing to your workers, to your colleagues' intelligence. Okay? People know very well what is private and what is not private, and if they need it for their job or not. So have clear rules of engagement, and then there needs to be some kind of trust. And it doesn't make sense if your company is all on this social media kind of tools or methods or whatever, and you actually do not allow your workers to use social media. That's schizophrenic. I mean, there needs to be some kind of a nice balance. But the fact is, and I want to repeat this, if you do not have rules of engagement, then the problem starts in case you have a worker with social media addiction. Okay, if you have a labor contract with the unions, it's relatively easy because there it stipulates you're gonna have to check, you're gonna have to control, and if the person violates the rule, then you have to write them or you have to send them a written warning. And the procedures are outlined even for social media. For instance, one car manufacturer in France has four steps which it has agreed with its union on how office workers, because the ones on the shop floor, they don't have this problem, they don't have access to Facebook. But the office workers, what happens when they violate the rules? But if you're a smaller company, and most in this group probably work for smaller companies, except maybe one person, then things are a little bit different. you know each other and you know what you do, and there's more flexibility, and as long as the people get the job done, you may not care that much. This is what I'm trying to say. So there's no black or white, but you have to be careful that if you do multitasking too much, for instance, if you do multitasking too much, research has found out that you have a far greater difficulty to focus on difficult tasks. So it's not helpful to do several things at once. And for me, this is actually a problem, and I'm speaking from experience. I like to watch a TV show or a football game and at the same time have my laptop and answer or do things on our Xing group or write on a blog post. And this is actually not good for my brain. And when I read the research about 2 weeks ago, where they have shown that it's not good for my brain and it's not good for my capabilities regarding concentration and focusing and performing faster doing difficult tasks, I didn't like it. But I'm trying to abide by this and not to damage too much damage to my brain. I didn't believe it either until I saw the research. And there's a whole stream of neurological work which demonstrates this beyond reasonable doubt. So this brings us to slide 10, which is actually kind of the end of our webinar. You can again download the slides, but it will take till about tomorrow morning till I have the slides up, because I saw one or two typos in the ones I've shown you today. You know how to contact me if you have a question or anything else. There's another webinar coming up for the 14th. We also explain a whole stream of webinars on slide 12, which I won't show you today. So having said that, this brings me to the conclusion of our 14th Commetrics University Coffee Break webinar. I appreciate you having been here. And unless you have a particular question which you still want to ask in the chat box, I'm going to let you go and wish you a very productive day. And this webinar then went about 21 minutes.